Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Just after his death was announced, online rumors circulated that perhaps the disgraced financier and sex trafficker wasn't actually dead. Then, with the drop of millions of new files, a picture emerged of a man who may not only be not dead, but may instead be alive and in hiding. This week's episode is Jeffrey Epstein still alive?
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Much like last week, yeah, the answer is yes, he is still alive. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it would seem that way. Yeah.
I was talking last night with some friends, and one of them made a very good point, which I've thought about a ton too, is like, if these people are such masterminds in what they do, then how did they even get to this point? How did they get caught? Like, why wouldn't they have been like saved beforehand? And I was like, that's a really good question. And I've thought about it a lot. I think that at some point, so many things happen that some kind of charges have to be applied to appease the public. However, if you are an asset, then it's like, well, can you do like 5 days and then we'll just bounce you? Just like and woman I saw yesterday that did a lot of digging, and isn't it quite interesting that 2 days after Jeffrey Epstein is pronounced dead, the Powerball for $85 million
that's right.
Is won by his name.
Zora Ranch,
ticket
LLC. Yeah.
That he had purchased. So first, billionaires do not play Powerball. They don't need to.
They do by getting to launder money.
They launder money through it. Certainly. They don't go and buy a ticket and do all of that. Do they launder money that way? Absolutely. And her kind of rationale was they paid him $85 million to take the sweetheart deal because he didn't even want to do that of going to prison for even a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would anybody, especially when you're used to the lifestyle that he is? And that made so much sense that I just shut my computer and went, well, we know what's happened then.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is a huge example that the lotto system is rigged, period. It's rigged mm-hmm. in favor of rich people. We had a huge scandal, scam, whatever you want to call it, where it was discovered that very wealthy people figured out how to game it and just win it repeatedly. So yeah, the 2 days after he's dead that like Zora Ranch LLC, some like kind of potentially could be the Powerball, you know, peons, like people that are literally writing the check that not everybody has to be in on it, is just like, oh, some LLC in New Mexico won. Okay, well, we'll just pay it out. Not making the connection and knowing like you're actually helping pay a super rich guy off.
Yeah. Well, and like you have to present a signed winning Powerball ticket.
Mm-hmm.
to even claim that. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of fake documents, or just like, we don't have to worry about the ticket this time. I mean, there's enough people involved that it can happen. Like it, you know, $85 million can just be transferred to somebody. And it's just like, well, that was the lottery this week. So also, just my opinion in general about lotteries. What the fuck? Why? What is this? Why are we doing this?
I do think lotteries should be outlawed only because we have discovered they are completely unfair. That even if it isn't like this, where perhaps there's someone behind the scenes writing checks that they're not supposed to, at the very least, rich people can just buy the machines that print the tickets, print unlimited amounts of tickets until every possible number combination, you know, they have every possible, and then just win. And they're like, mm-hmm. Well, we spent $50 million in tickets to win $3 billion, you know, whatever. It's like, they've always quadrupled their money in all of these schemes. So you're right. It's like, I know in Texas, it was like supposed to fund the educate. That's what we were told. Like, if you buy a lottery ticket, it's because it goes to this education fund. And then we found out the state plundered it, that the money did not go to the education fund. And in fact, all the winnings were paid out to wealthy people, not every single one of them, but kind of, you start to look that there are patterns, and it is more often than not. So yeah, I think, what the fuck?
Same with like Publishers Clearinghouse, that I don't even know if that's around anymore, but I remember back in the day, my grandma would send in all the time, and also rigged. Also, if we have all this money to give to somebody because they bought a ticket, how about we use it for, I don't know, like to help everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, yet again, something that all the rich people came in and ruined. But even, I mean, even in its early days, I think it does take advantage of people. And this is you're talking to a person who loves a scratch off ticket. Any day of the week, I love a scratch off ticket, because I know it's like a little, you know, it's my little mini. I also say, please don't let me go to casinos, because I also love to gamble. So I know it's probably not
also
a good
rigged
thing. Yeah. Oh, certainly. Yeah. Especially my favorite, which are video poker machines, which are 100% not poker, like just slot machines, 100% rigged.
Oh, yeah. Anything digital, yeah. Definitely. You'll have your better luck with a person dealing cards. But even then, you know, I mean, why would casinos exist if they weren't going to make profit?
They all do make profit. And you did say you do better with a person. And I would agree. The one time I've played roulette was incidentally in the casino on the cruise ship. And I just felt like she was the key, because I bet and the guy bet. And then she was like, I feel good about this one. And she's like, and you can't rig it, because I mean, it's like a ball, like she throws the ball. And I was like,
you can,
I like your vibe.
But I'm not
lady.
Saying she did, but you can rig it with weighted balls.
Oh, well, I mean, the guy in front of me had been playing there for a while, and I played it, and then we both won. And I was like, this is so satisfying. And I was so proud of myself that I took my $20 that had been doubled, and I walked immediately to the cashier, and then I cashed it out. And then I had told my friend who's had a baby that day, I said, I'll go bet $20, and whatever I win or lose, that's your baby gift. So I gave him $40 cash. So that made it out of the casino with me, because it was promised to a child.
well, it's all rigged. So, you know, if you win, good. I'm glad for you. But yeah, if you're winning $85 million and you're already a billionaire, it's going to raise some flags.
And you've been dead for 2 days.
Yeah, that part too is interesting. And we're going to get into a lot more interesting reasons of that point to he is still alive.
I think so. And this, for all of our everyone following along at home, this is probably our last direct Epstein episode for a hot minute, of course, till more stuff comes out. But as we're going through evil, sinister things throughout the ages, boy, if there's not a thread back.
Oh, yeah. We've got the next 2 months of episodes planned out just from things that we've discovered through these that are tangentially related, equally sinister subjects we've had on our list to cover, that we've been asked to cover. And then you see it's all intertwined.
Mm-hmm. It gets mentioned and I'm like, oh man, I really don't know a lot of details. And like 10 people have asked us to cover it already. Let's dive on in. But today we've got, I think we got a nice evidentiary roundup.
I do too. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Since we last recorded, the House Oversight Committee's investigation into Jeffrey Epstein's 2019 death has expanded its witness list. Chairman James Comer has requested that Tova Noel, one of the Metropolitan Correctional Center guards on duty the night Epstein died, appear for a transcribed interview on March 26. Noel, along with her fellow guard, Michael Thomas, had previously faced federal charges for falsifying prison records that night. though those charges were ultimately dropped. A date for her testimony has not been set. A deposition with Epstein's longtime attorney, Darren Indyke, is scheduled for March 19th. It was also announced on March 17th that Pam Bondi has been subpoenaed and will testify before the committee on April 14th.
So they're still dragging people in front of them. I'm glad to see that it was all the Democrats and five Republicans voted to bring Pam Bondi in because of her disaster.
Sham Bondi, as someone called her in a recent Freaky Friday, which I can't not call her that now. It's
forever.
Too good.
It's too accurate.
Well, I hope they get more information out of her than the last time where she just yammered on about how great Trump is and refused to actually address any questions or the survivors that were in the room right behind her.
I hope she takes it a little more seriously that it is a subpoena. Yet, I mean, not that the other one was not under oath, but yet again under oath, especially now with more stuff that's come out, is like you cannot go in and legally say there's zero evidence against Trump or whatever. So I hope she, on one hand, I hope she tells the truth. But on the other hand, go ahead and perjure yourself, baby. Maybe they'll send you to jail.
Maybe. Among the details that emerged from the January 2026 DOJ document release is a medical discrepancy that has generated significant online attention. The claim started with the 2010 LabCorp result in the files for Jeffrey Epstein. The document includes standard boilerplate language that LabCorp automatically adds to results when a prior prostatectomy, the surgical removal of the entire prostate gland, has been flagged in a patient's history, meaning LabCorp's system noted that Epstein had a prostatectomy at that time. Separately, the released files include a medical conversation between Epstein and an unidentified doctor. The date of the exchange has not been established in any reporting. The doctor asked Epstein,
"You can have high testosterone and still have a need for Viagra because you don't have a prostate, right?"
Epstein responded,
"Correct."
Researcher Carolyn Beckia additionally noted that Epstein signed a disclosure to undergo onco-blot testing, a diagnostic tool used specifically when cancer is present, but its origin cannot be determined through standard testing. She argued this was consistent with a prior prostatectomy and possible metastatic cancer. Critics have argued that the unnamed doctor's question,
"You don't have a prostate, right?"
is grammatically ambiguous. It can be read as a direct question about his personal medical status with
"correct"
as his confirmation. It can also be read as a hypothetical construction using casual second-person language, the kind of phrasing used to describe a general medical scenario rather than the specific patient sitting in the room.
That was my question. So it's like the doctor should have said "one" or like "a person could have," but he said "you," which does sound, I mean, just the phrasing of the question is confusing. If someone asked me, I would be like, "Well, I still do have a prostate. Why are you asking me this?"
Yeah, the phrasing is confusing. I feel like sometimes they do this on purpose. You can have high testosterone and still have a need for Viagra, which sounds, this is speculation, that Epstein had emailed him like, "I need some Viagra." Because I also believe it was mentioned somewhere in the files that he was taking Viagra. There was another email with Viagra mentioned.
And not just Viagra. He was taking other – I started Googling all the medicines, and I was like, "Oh, this one is an infection, you know, one that treats some type of worm type of infection, this something else." But also he was taking multiple different kinds of ED drugs, of erectile dysfunction drugs.
It is ambiguously worded. It also would make sense that if you have an inkling you might have prostate cancer and you have the best medical services in the world, that you would just get that taken out right away so you can live forever.
Yeah, I did see when I typed, just searched prostate, a bunch of documents about treatments for prostate cancer came through, but no, I didn't see any diagnoses for him, for Epstein himself. I saw a couple of Jeff needs the best prostate cancer doctor for his friend, blah, blah, blah. Or somebody would write him and go, "Oh my gosh, my brother's got prostate cancer. Do you know a guy?" So what I saw was, it seemed like he still had it, but that was an interesting note from LabCorp.
Dissident media compared the 2010 LabCorp results. Their reporting was subsequently amplified by Joe Rogan to a larger audience. The official autopsy report from the New York City chief medical examiner states clearly that the body examined had
a slightly and diffusely enlarged prostate with marked enlargement of the virumontanum.
The virumontanum is an anatomical structure that exists within the prostate. It is a small ridge on the posterior wall of the urethra that sits inside prostatic tissue. It cannot be present without a prostate also being present. More than simply noting that a prostate existed, the coroner's report describes the gland's internal architecture in measurable detail.
So somebody had a prostate.
The autopsy of whoever it was on that table had a prostate.
Mm-hmm.
Also complicating this story is that elsewhere in the same file release, Epstein's extensive correspondence with his urologist, Dr. Harry Fish of Weill Cornell, shows him raising ongoing concerns about a swollen prostate years after the LabCorp document with the prostatectomy language. Dr. Fish appears 923 times in the released files, with records showing he was actively screening, advising, and treating Epstein for sexually transmitted infections throughout the mid to late 2010s. Texts and emails specifically address Epstein's prostatitis, inflammation of the prostate, as well as prescriptions for erectile dysfunction medications. The documented exchanges run from at least 2015 through early 2019, with specific dated records including a December 2017 bill from Fish's Park Avenue office, a February 2018 exchange about scheduling dinner, and a June 2018 email in which Fish responds to a photo Epstein sent him.
They're very close. They're way closer than a doctor and a patient. I've never talked to one of my doctors this much in my life offline.
No, I've never been personal friends with the doctor that I see.
Yeah, and like a renowned doctor at a, you know, well-respected practice is just on, literally on call to Epstein. And it would be where, there was another guy too, Dr. Moskowitz, where these are like licensed MDs, and he would just send them like a picture, like he's taking a photo of his screen that has his results on it and would be like, so what does this mean? And they'd be like, okay, scroll down and show me another part. I mean, these people were just like at his beck and call. And I'm like, Meanwhile, if I have an appointment with the doctor and it says 9 a.m., they don't see me until 11:45. Like, you know what I mean? But they somehow have all the time in the world to answer this guy right away.
Oh, yes. He jumps to the top of the list, I imagine. Their correspondence continued into 2019, including a text exchange about the deaths of WWE wrestlers Pedro Morales and Bruno Sammartino. Epstein responded,
not before I fall asleep.
Which puts the two men in casual, regular contact just months before Epstein's arrest in July of that year. There are also the now infamous exchanges in which Fish asks Epstein about scheduling, quote, pizza and grape soda, multiple times in both emails and text messages, including one instance where he suggested it immediately after discussing a refill of Epstein's ED prescription.
What? Why? Why would you do that? He's like, go on down. I called it in for you. And the prescription is a topical prescription. And he says like something like wash your hands and let's go have pizza and grape soda.
What two grown men are emailing about going and having pizza and grape soda?
I mean, I had to save them all. It's crazy. He did send them because I told you, I was like, I'm obsessed with this idea that if you really are drinking that much grape soda, have a picture of it. And at one point he did send a photo of a piece of pizza and a bottle of grape soda. And then Epstein just said traitor in response. And then, but then he also sent just a picture of a box of ding dongs and just said, enough said. And
the cupcakes?
The hostess
things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he also talked a lot about Pop-Tarts. Dr. Fish either loves like bakery Pop-Tarts, like this bakery bakes this like handmade Pop-Tart, or Pop-Tart means something else. Maybe he really just loves them. There's an email from Leslie Groff, Epstein's assistant, that the subject is Dr. Fish. And it says, Dr. Fish let you know he went to Greenberg's Bakery and had the best Pop-Tart ever. Like, what? He just called the office and was like, is Epstein there? Well, do you need to leave him a message? Yeah, tell him I just had a good Pop-Tart. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the whole food thing is bizarre. Someone mentioned that in all the amount of times pizza is mentioned, having pizza, meeting up for pizza, never is it discussed about actually eating pizza.
Yeah, it's more like either before or afterwards. Like, I can't wait to do that, or I had so much fun, I can't wait to do it again. And again, I will say, And we'll talk about Pizzagate separately in a whole other episode. Just, I in my life have had some good slices. I mean, I lived in Chicago. It's where I went to college. And I've never once have been like, I've got to email someone about how good this pizza is. And maybe I'm just like living my life wrong. Or maybe I'm living my life right. Because they're not talking about pizza. It's just weird language. It's not all of it, but some of it is weird.
It is very weird language. And some of it may be that bakery really has great Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. But it's also possible that pizza's code for children, you know? I mean, it's like we talked about last episode, mixing in bits of truth with things that can be proven false is part of the whole ruse, because then you can point to like, no, this was just, he really liked grape soda. Like everyone mm-hmm. knew that. He's just, okay, like, but are you, given everything that we have learned, is this the hill you're going to die on? That pizza couldn't mean anything other than pizza? Mm-hmm. Or is it possible that all these sick pedos have weird words and shit that they thought were funny to use in place of things and like code language for them? I mean, well, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibilities.
No, I think you're right. And I think the one quickest way to solve it all would be, for instance, there's an email from April 6, 2018 between some redacted name and Epstein. And it says, this is better than a Chinese cookie. See attached. Let's go for pizza and grape soda again. No one else can understand. Good. No. And I'm sorry, go no, G-O space K-N-O is a, I believe it's like a Yiddish slang term of that's kind of like who, maybe like who knows or something kind of, but let's go for pizza and grape soda again. No one else can understand. What the fuck? Who's that from? Why is it redacted?
What can't you understand? No one else can understand how two grown men talk so much about grape soda and pizza. Yeah, you're right. I can't understand that.
No, I mean, that's why I was like, I got to dive into this whole Pizzagate thing because I'm going to figure out like where they wove in, you know, the flat earth stuff, the weird stuff, and where some of this stuff is actually crossing over now with stuff that we're finding in the Epstein files that mm-hmm. then match up with investigations. Like, oh, God, this person was missing or this event happened or whatever. And now it's all fallen into place.
If Epstein had his prostate surgically removed before 2010, then years of documented treatment for inflammation of the prostate in the decade that followed would be medically impossible. Either the LabCorp boilerplate was a system error, the surgery happened and the later complaints were referred pain or phantom symptoms, or one set of records is not telling the whole story.
All I can think of is I think maybe LabCorp marked it wrong. I mean, because there's just a lot of documentation back and forth between him and Fish. A lot.
Yeah. And I think that's probably his primary source that knows all of his mm-hmm. secrets.
Yeah. And it's punching in, he would write a whole text message and be like, here's all my symptoms. And he was having a holistic panel of symptoms that indicated severe infection. That
good
was
for him.
And it's, I hate to say this, but it comes from ingesting fecal matter. And given his predilection for people from these certain areas, including South America, including Eastern Europe, areas where this specific type of infection is rampant, it makes sense that he had it. And he's just like, I'm so sick. Why am I so sick? I'm like, stop fucking constantly exposing yourself to all this and all these people to stuff. But the doctors were, I mean, they were trying, but I think he was continuing the behavior that was continuing the infections.
Yeah, he's not going to stop what he's doing.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
A 2020 email unearthed from the DOJ's 3.5 million released Epstein files shows a DOJ attorney referring to Epstein's death as a, quote, murder, directly contradicting the official suicide ruling. An assistant U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of New York wrote that the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner had signed a confidentiality agreement in connection with
an investigation into the murder of Jeffrey Epstein.
This reference came nearly a year after the ME had already ruled the death a suicide. Both the sender and the recipient are redacted in the released version. The email is dated June 11, 2020, during Trump's first term. The 2020 email and the 2020 confidentiality agreement it references have not been publicly explained.
If that's a typo, what a fucking typo.
How could that be a typo? Unless two little checks right next to each other and you just checked the wrong one, which is a pretty big oopsie.
Yeah.
I mean, his brother, who I don't think he's a reliable source, but he claims that he was murdered. And, you know, as we talked about before, the way the bone was broken and all that is more indicative of being strangled versus hanging. His brother is also on the lease for that New York den of models.
The big ass apartment building that God knows who's in it, and like intelligence assets were staying in, and Israel put all the cameras in. Like, I don't know. Interesting.
I mean, blood's thicker than water. If anybody knew stuff, I imagine it would be your brother.
And if anybody knew what could happen if you knew stuff and squealed, it would probably be the brother, you know? And he's just like, I'm minding my business as best I can. Please don't kill me too.
One of the quieter but potentially significant details buried in the DOJ files is that Epstein held an active Brazilian CPF, Brazil's Individual Taxpayer Registration Number. It was issued in 2003 and confirmed still in good standing with Brazil's government as of February 2026, with no pending irregularities on record. That in good standing status is important to note, because as of January 2025, Brazilian regulations require foreign non-residents to re-register their CPF numbers annually, meaning someone has been actively maintaining this account nearly 7 years after Epstein's reported death. Whether that's estate management or something else has not been revealed. The CPF itself is not unusual for a wealthy international investor. Foreigners can obtain one without residing in Brazil, and it's required for significant financial transactions like opening bank accounts, owning property, or holding stakes in Brazilian companies.
Yeah, so it's not suspicious that he had it. It's just weird that it's still active.
Yeah, someone is annually re-upping that.
Yeah, who's working on it? Because we know Ghislaine's in jail. So is it Leslie? Is it Karina? Is it like who? Is it somebody we don't know? But somebody went. Is it Jeffrey? He's like put on a Groucho Marx glasses.
Civil lawsuits allege that model scout Jean-Luc Brunel's MC2 agency scouted young women specifically from Brazil and other South American countries. And Brunel himself was on a month-long scouting trip through Brazil just 3 months before Epstein's 2019 arrest.
And one of the horrific emails are like, 9-year-old Brazilian, look at her. She's a 9-year-old from Brazil. So that they were trafficking children from Brazil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a hard email to read. Mm-hmm. 9 years old and just like the thrill between them of having a pretty 9-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so, I mean, in addition to just deviant, it's so written almost with the same enthusiasm. You'd be like, I got a new dressage horse that's like gorgeous. You can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like a thing.
Emails revealed that in October of 2011, Epstein discussed the possibility of obtaining Brazilian citizenship in an exchange with German investor Nicole Junkermann, who suggested that option that month. Epstein was exploring full naturalization while on probation following his 2008 conviction. Brazil's constitution completely bans the extradition of natural-born Brazilian citizens, and while naturalized citizens can be extradited, it's only for crimes committed before obtaining citizenship, meaning that for any crimes Epstein might have committed after naturalization, Brazil could have been a genuine safe harbor.
And that was one of the options he was looking into. It sounded like he was trying to find places that would take him and maybe not send him back to the United States, because he was committing crimes all over the place, but a lot globally. In the U.S. A lot in the U.S., yeah.
Among the millions of Epstein files released in January of this year, investigative outlet The Ditch found an unredacted password for Epstein's FedEx account. Journalists used those login credentials to access the account, which at the time of their reporting was still live.
They redacted every pervert's name, no victims' names, and no logins for FedEx.
Insane. But all the names of the perpetrators are redacted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The account's address book contained nearly 100 names and addresses, including Ghislaine Maxwell, modeling agent Jean-Luc Brunel, and Les Wexner. Among the less familiar names, Danny Grossman, a former Israeli Air Force lieutenant colonel who now works as a strategic consultant and lists attorney Alan Dershowitz among his clients. Well, we know
he's
that
back.
Wart is up to no good, a sack of shit.
Mm-hmm.
More striking than the address book is the shipping activity. The FedEx account was used as recently as the summer of 2024, nearly 5 years after Epstein's reported death. A package was shipped from Gulfstream's product support facility in Savannah, Georgia, to Plan D LLC, the now dissolved company Epstein incorporated to own and operate his private jet. A second shipment went from the same Gulfstream address to Empire Aviation in West Palm Beach. The account listed Epstein's former accountant, Bella Klein, as administrator, with Jeffrey E. Epstein listed as the account holder. The DOJ did not comment. Shortly after The Ditch published its story, the document containing the unredacted password was deleted from the DOJ's website.
Well, and the Empire Aviation link, I think, is interesting because this is when we start getting close to Donald Trump. Like, that is the fixed-based operator and a charter company in West Palm Beach. So it's right around where that's at, as well as, what the fuck? Who is using Epstein's jet company after he's dead?
Good question. I don't know. If he left his estate and stuff to people, maybe them.
Yeah. I mean, you got to mail stuff back and forth. But for the fact that the account holder is still his name, you would think, I mean, I remember we would have assistants at a place I worked at, and the account would be in their name. And if I called, they're like, oh, you're not Nicole, you're not Stephanie, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, well, they've moved on and stuff. Why? I mean, maybe if you're a rich person account, FedEx is like, yeah, sure, whatever, we're not going to check. Or just they aren't calling anyone, so it doesn't matter. If it's just an online login, anybody can use it.
Yeah. I don't think the same rules apply to us about anything.
Maybe not.
From
maybe
all
not.
The way from FedEx to stints in prison, the rich have a way of getting out of things that we don't. FedEx is referenced more than once in the files. On September 11th, 2023, more than 4 years after Jeffrey Epstein's death in August of 2019, Karina Shuliak sent a brief email with the subject line, FedEx for JE, tagged DOJ-11 in the release files and assigned document numbers EFTA_R1_0117701 and EFTA 02304448. The recipient remains redacted in the publicly available version. The body of the email reads in full.
Jeffrey wants you to FedEx one of the Amy's books to LSJ. Can you give me a call, please? I'll explain. Thank you.
The email was initially released with only the recipient redacted and was copied to the JMail website. Later, it was apparently re-uploaded to the DOJ website with the date redacted as well.
Some people have argued that JMail, which is an independent run conglomerator of all the files, parsed the data wrong, and actually this was sent September of 2016 or some other day. okay, I haven't seen a ton of things that are parsed wrong. So why would this specific email be the one that was parsed wrong? Great question. But that's one possible innocent explanation. The other explanation is the man was hiding out on his island. He wanted a fucking book.
Yeah. Yeah. One of Amy's books. I wonder what book it was.
Yeah. No, I was like, who's Amy?
Amy who?
I don't know. It's the lady that makes macaroni. He's like, not me in the files.
When investigators photographed Epstein's cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center after his death, they didn't find the writings of a man at peace with his fate. It looked more like a workspace. The handwritten notes recovered there have since been analyzed by Dr. G, a clinical and forensic psychologist, who concluded they read less like the ramblings of a frightened prisoner and more like the early stages of a methodical escape plan. The notes open on logistics, visas, banks, and the shorthand MIA, which Dr. G interprets not as Miami, but as going missing, deliberately disappearing from the system. Along these terms are references to Interpol red notices, the international alerts issued for wanted fugitives, suggesting Epstein was thinking carefully about how law enforcement agencies across borders would be tracking him.
Yeah, he wrote like MIA in U.S., which could either be Miami, U.S., which I doubt, but Dr. G thinks missing in action. And then from there, he kind of branched off and had like no rights. And then visas, which would be if you're in the wind, you would not have rights. You would not be able to obtain a visa to go to a certain country. Red notice equals extradition. And then below that, it seems that he was, you know, just kind of trying to map out where he's going to go. And what, okay, if this happens, then this happens, then I need to plan for that. And it was Dr. G is a forensic psychologist and a behavior analyst too, and was analyzing the handwriting and said it looked very hurried. Like he was like thinking and trying to like impulsive, which makes sense because it is like, yeah, it's like a chaotic brain dump almost.
The notation EXT tax points toward estate and financial planning, the kind of thing you'd need sorted before vanishing permanently. Then there's the geography. The notes reference Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Nigeria with terms like, quote, Muslim, and what may be shorthand for, quote, Arab states. Critically, Nigeria is specifically flagged with the notation that it does extradite to the U.S., suggesting Epstein was vetting countries not just for their willingness to take him in, but for their likelihood of handing him back.
Well, and also it says like EXT tax and then banks. And then Dr. G couldn't quite get it, but several people in the comments said that looks like the word blackmail. So it says banks and then under it blackmail with the dollar sign. And then right under that, it says the word guards.
Isn't that interesting that we've seen the money that was dumped into Noelle's account and all of the weird things that happened on the night that he, quote unquote, took his own life.
Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting in there's a drawing that I don't know if it's the United States or what, but the name Nicole appears in there in the notes. And I'm like, Nicole Junkerman, who gave him the idea to move to Brazil. I don't know. But those, the Q and the SA, like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Nigeria. And then next to the Q and the SA, he wrote like extort, kidnap, gangsters. So probably things to be concerned about when you go to these places. If they find out, you know, you're a wealthy guy in the wind, they might just kidnap you because what are you going to call the government? No one's going to come save you. So just fascinating insight into potential thought process he was having.
The abbreviations MRTM and LSR remain partially unresolved. Dr. G noted the writing shifts into what appears to be a personal code at points, consistent with someone who didn't want these notes to be immediately legible. The entry, quote, jet, U.S. prop, question mark, is interpreted as a comparison between aircraft types for an exit flight, jet versus propeller. It could also be Epstein wondering whether his jet was property of the U.S. government.
And it's right above some sketches that were in between sketches that look like airplanes. So, I mean, maybe he was just fantasizing. He was going crazy and going like, man, if only I could get out. Or it was like, and this is how I'll get out.
What's interesting, too, is whatever the reason, if he didn't want it found, he would have disposed of it.
That's a good point, too, because it was sitting on the desktop.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Either take it with you. I don't know. Rip it to shreds, something. But
eat it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do something with it. I mean, if you ate it, then it would be discovered in your autopsy.
But at least maybe it would burn down. Not, you know, stomach acid would smear it so you couldn't see what it said.
That's
or you have
true.
To tear it up and eat it piece by piece.
Everyone would be like, I don't know what it says, but there's a lot of paper in
so
his tummy. But yeah, it seems like he was writing notes on how to escape and whether it's just he let something fall through the cracks or red herring to throw people off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Sinister Hood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
A name that appears in the notes, Brad, is placed in proximity to a sketch that matches the layout of Teterboro Airport, New Jersey, a well-known hub for private aviation. Teterboro is exactly where Epstein was arrested when he returned from Paris in July 2019, and it is the closest private airport to where he was being detained.
It does look like when you compare, it's almost like a building layout sketch. And when you compare it to Teterboro, it does look similar. It also, Dr. G points out, lots of airports look like that. You know, lots of airports have terminals and lines and stuff. But as far as direct, you know, POV, it does look like Teterboro.
Yeah.
And TBD on who Brad is, other than was the people that ran the ranch and also the, you know, all the helpers that I think were from New Zealand. Was his name Brad? I'm trying to recall from memory, but that'd be the only Brad I could maybe think of.
I'm not sure. I do think it's too coincidental for him to have been arrested at Teterboro and he was familiar with that airport. And then it's mentioned again in these manic notes.
Mm-hmm. And that also, the other notes we talked about were written in blue ink, the U.S. jet prop, and then the U.S. jet prop was in black ink. Part of the Brad sketch was in blue ink and part of it was in black ink. So I don't know, maybe the whole thing's in blue ink. But it's like at some point he was writing all in blue ink and then later came on and either added or changed it in black. I don't know.
The notation G/computer/PB/VI has been read as a reference to Ghislaine Maxwell and computers in Palm Beach and the Virgin Islands. A reminder of assets, evidence, leverage, things that would need to be managed or moved. Phrases referencing guard schedules appear to indicate Epstein was thinking about how to identify windows of time when surveillance would be reduced and when staff rotations might create a gap.
And that's what some of those letters might be, the MRTM. They're written in kind of a circle. So I don't know if that was maybe where people were stationed in their guard spots, where the other inmates were by initial or something.
M, Michael, T, yeah. Tova.
Yeah, Thomas. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's true. RTM. Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, and Ghislaine Maxwell had written, and they all used the words PB for Palm Beach House and VI for Virgin Island House. And like Ghislaine would send an email that was like, you know, sound won't work on my computer, parentheses VI, to like say where they were. So
mm-hmm.
That's kind of their little internal, it maps to their internal communication style.
Mm-hmm. The last line of notes found in Epstein's cell reads, blankets, AVR, Medi, watch. While the blankets are accounted for, investigators noted there was an unusual number of them present. Final three entries are still genuinely unresolved. AVR hasn't been definitively decoded. It could refer to audiovisual recordings, which would fit given what is known about Epstein's alleged surveillance operation across his properties, or it could refer to the malfunctioning AV systems within the jail.
It struck me as kind of this is a totally separate piece of paper, that all the other stuff is one long sheet of paper, like you said, that's all plans. Then the other piece of paper, this was written kind of at the top corner of a folded backside of another paper, the blanket slash AVR slash Medi slash watch, that almost is like, I don't know if it's like a watch is like an afterthought kind of up in the top corner. But it's just curious why he might have been writing these things down. In almost AVR, Medi is like code. Like, I don't know what that means.
Medi is a little more straightforward in context. It most likely refers to medication or medical supplies, though some have suggested it could mean media, as in press strategy, something Epstein was known to obsess over. And then there's watch, written with three exclamation points. Whether that means a specific timepiece of significance, a person keeping watch, or something else entirely, nobody has said definitively.
Yeah, I'd be interested. We'll post the pictures up on social media of his notes. I'd be interested in everybody's take on what it might mean. And we'll link Dr. G's video in the show notes. He says on there a couple times, like, I don't know if I'm sure. I don't know if, you know, my decoding of this is right, even just as far as like decoding the bad handwriting. So if anybody has experience reading horrible handwriting, you work at a doctor's office, you work with lawyers, you work with any people that would like that type of scribbly fast, I'm too good to stop and, you know, actually form in letter handwriting, please take a look and let us know if you have any ideas, because this is a group project.
Has there been any confirmation if these notes were written prior to his first quote-unquote suicide attempt?
From what I can tell from the pictures, they are on his desktop with a pen next to him and like his shit's all around it. So it looks like a lived in area. He had by then put a bunch of shit on the top bunk where it looks like he's using it as like storage, which is weird to me because, you know, like we said, he's not supposed to be without a roommate. And I didn't think the roommate was out for that long. So it looks fairly comfortable and lived in. But the other note was folded and like on another table. So they look kind of crunched up, but that's not to say that he didn't like fold them and then someone found it and unfolded it, because the pictures fucking suck from in there. They're blurry as hell. Half the shit you can't read.
I was thinking watch exclamation, exclamation, exclamation could be in the first, what we think was a test run, how he kept opening his eyes and looking around and watching to see what was going on. Maybe there was something to that.
Yeah, like keep watch, pay attention.
Yeah, like a reminder to make sure you're watching what they're doing so I can clock it for later. With so many suspicious factors surrounding Epstein's alleged death, it is unsurprising that a growing number of people believe that the body shown in postmortem imagery is not Jeffrey Epstein. Online commentators have cited perceived differences in facial features, particularly the eyes, nose, and bone structure, as evidence of a body double. The origin of the conspiracy appears to have come from a 4chan post shortly after Epstein was found dead, now referenced in the recently released files as EFTA00133623.
Not saying anything after this, please do not try to dox me, but last night, after 0415 count, they took him, medical, in a wheelchair, front cuffed, but not one triage nurse says they spoke to him. Next thing we know, a trip van shows up. We do not do releases on the weekends unless a judge orders it. Next thing we know, he's put in a single man cell and hangs himself? Here's the thing. The trip van did not sign in, and we did not record the plate number, and a guy in a green dress military outfit was in the back of the van, according to the tower guy who led him through the gate. You guys, I'm shaking right now, but I think they switched him out.
I mean, we don't know who posted this, and it is on 4chan. However, this seems pretty legit. In my gut, I'm like, there's too many specifics of like how operations would run, and like it just sounds like someone that was there that actually saw it versus someone that's like looking up information on how this would be handled.
Yeah, no, it's I feel like they're not the document that we referenced. It is a pull of this post. It shows the IP addresses, and essentially, because it's 4chan and it's anonymous, no one could track the IP addresses, unlike the one we talked about last time, that they did track that down through financial transactions, and it seemed to be that guy was also an employee. So we have evidence that at least one employee was posting on 4chan. Why would it be out of the realm of possibility that another employee was not posting on 4chan? Again, because...
Or the same employee.
Well, they did rule out that it was not him as far as IP address. I don't say rule out, but it did not match that. But you're right. I mean,
it could be a different computer.
That's true. Yeah, because it is anonymous. But the, I don't know, man. Somebody wrote it. But it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility that this is the observations of a low-level employee. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not saying, I was part of this scheme. They're like, something fucked up weird happened that we don't do that. Like, we have policies. Sometimes we follow them. I don't ever go check on people overnight, says the some of the workers. But, you know, just to be like, we don't do releases on the weekends. The trip van's supposed to sign in. The guy who let him through the gate said that was weird. So I'm anxious for these type of folks to come forward and to, you know, to where we have, they go and speak with, you know, whether it's an independent journalist like Dropsite or Ken Klippenstein, somebody that will take keeping their anonymity seriously while also vetting who they are. That's what we need. It's for them to come forward and go, listen, I'm the 4chan guy. Here's my, you know, badge from that time, you know, my employee records, whatever. Just like, God, I don't want to be public, but please let the people know this is the weird thing I saw.
Mm-hmm. A green dress military outfit. That's sus. I mean, it's just too many things that are not typical. Mm-hmm. Happening on just the same night that he happens to, in the morning, be found, quote, dead in his cell. I just don't think there could be this many coincidences that all these things, of all the nights for, well, they didn't sign in and this weird thing happened that we usually never do unless a judge orders it. We did that. And then I think I saw him in a wheelchair. And then, like we talked about last time, somebody either carrying orange linens or a person wearing an orange jumpsuit being taken up the stairs. He's wheeled out. Someone else is taken up to that cell.
I mean, it's a great question. And I was able to pull his inmate quarters history, which shows like all the times he got moved, rooms, and when he got moved. And there's an entry for 8:10 for like a 2 minute, I don't know, start date, stop date. So I don't know what you would do to cause this to be marked in the system that his room got moved, but it's the same room that he was already in. It's just got like a double entry, including the entry of the date of his death. So again, all that to say, I don't know what that means, but this person alleges that he was put into a single man cell. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was, you've got a mark like, hey, somebody's being removed and somebody's being put back in or something. But I also am not a corrections officer, so I might be looking at something incorrectly and not know what I'm looking at. But I thought it was anomalous that there was like a cell movement date and he didn't move cells. It was his own cell. So I'm like, does that trigger when you open the door or move him or, you know, I don't know.
Well, his cellmate was moved.
And taken away. Yeah. So
I don't know if that would maybe trigger it, but it's also interesting that he was moved and then he just happens to hang himself by himself in a cell that now is just him.
Yeah, I know. I'm fascinated to find out who wrote this. You know, that's the nature of 4chan is that it's anonymous, but that doesn't mean that this person doesn't exist or the tower guy who let him through the gate didn't also see something. Mm-hmm. I think that's how a lot of these things get the jig is up because you just got seen. You accidentally got seen by someone. Now, what happens when you get seen by someone? You go kill them. You take them out so that they don't tell anyone. So maybe this person's been killed or they're afraid of that. So yeah. I can see why you would want to stay anonymous given
the subject. I totally agree. I hope, though, that someone that saw something, because there have to be people that haven't come forward that worked there, worked at one of his estates for him, whatever. A lot of people that haven't come forward. And I don't know if any of you listen to this podcast, but if you do it anonymously. Get it off your chest. Do you want to die with this information on your chest, or do you want to be someone that could provide some insight into the biggest conspiracy and cover up in, I don't know, maybe ever, and get some justice, whatever that might look like, for the remaining survivors, the victims that are no longer living? Just, I think it's going to be someone comes forward, deathbed confession type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm like, you don't even have to be deathbed. Like, look at Deep Throat. Like, that person was still working it. So be the Deep Throat you want to see in the world. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there are journalists, Ken Klippenstein, Julie K. Brown, who broke the story in the first place, Ryan Grimm from Dropsite. There are plenty of people that have, like, my Signal is open. Like, you can message me anonymously through Signal, you know, message me encrypted, or even go to somebody like Ro Khanna, who's that guy, while he is a House of Representatives person, he's not an Epstein class person. He's a chemical engineer from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Who's interested in finding out what the fuck is going on. So somebody, you know, him, his staff, something like that. Like, I want to testify behind closed doors. How do I be protected? That's what we're going to need.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
According to CBS News, comparisons between Epstein's known photographs and postmortem images reveal consistent identifying features, despite visible differences in appearance that can be expected in the postmortem processes, including swelling, fluid accumulation, and tissue changes. Forensic literature notes that decomposition commonly causes orbital distortion, skin discoloration, and bloating, factors that can make a deceased individual appear markedly different from their living appearance. Forensic pathologist Michael Baden, who observed the autopsy on behalf of Epstein's family, stated that fingerprints taken from the body matched those from Epstein's prior arrest records.
Two things. I believe Michael Baden. I think he's a great doctor and he's done a lot for a lot of families. Because the fingerprints of the body you have in front of you match quote unquote records, the man had a fake passport. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe
what
I'm being
records?
Crazy.
Yeah, the fake arrest records. Like,
maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, also,
I'm not
like,
accusing Baden of anything, but.
Yeah. I feel like. I don't know. Maybe I'm not some kind of spy, but it seems like fingerprints would be, in this situation, an easy thing to fake.
Oh, I mean, of all the things, and maybe that explains, I would say maybe that explains the prostate. I think he did have a prostate, but I've heard from medical professionals that they found his appearance odd, given the tenseness of his mouth. When you're on your back and dead, you're like, you're dead, right? He was like, and it wasn't many, many hours after he's been dead. He's very tensed up this way. It was like he was being wheeled out and taken care of and was like holding his face together. And the fact that we have prior indications from prison hospital or prison staff that says this man was faking, like he laid down and faked it. We know he faked it. He faked this thing before. He keeps faking it. It's crazy to me to say, oh, well, definitely he's... surely this picture of this guy, he's definitely dead here. It's like, his mouth doesn't look dead. He looks very red. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it was him that was in those pictures and they were like, we got to get some photos real quick before we let you out of here. And we need your fingerprints also. And then he bounces.
Yeah. And that whoever Michael Baden looked at, like we've talked about before, you know, that bone being broken kind of in the center of the neck rather than under the mandible and stuff matched, as did the fingerprints and stuff. But again, I'm not accusing Dr. Michael Baden of anything, but I'm like, who was in front of you and how do you know? How do you, where was the tattoos?
Another widely circulated claim alleged that Epstein was alive and playing the video game Fortnite. This theory originated from a chain of loosely connected facts. Epstein's YouTube username, LittleSaintJeff1, an email referencing a purchase of V-Bucks, Fortnite's in-game currency, and the appearance of a Fortnite account with the same username after Epstein's death. Closer examination reveals that this chain is speculative. The V-Bucks email did not identify a Fortnite account name, and both sender and recipient were redacted. Last month, Epic Games, the developer behind the popular game, stated that the Fortnite account in question was not linked to any of Epstein's known email addresses. The company further explained that an existing user changed their username to LittleSaintJeff1 after Epstein's YouTube name became public, perhaps to exploit the attention surrounding the case.
That's very funny because I kept thinking it was Littlest Jeff, and I was like, why is he the Littlest Jeff? But Little Saint Jeff is what he called the island.
Yes.
That makes more sense. I was just thinking that he was just the tiniest little tiny little Jeff.
Well, that shows you what a boomer he is, that he didn't read this and think that it could be read like that.
I'm going to choose the rapist. Nope, that's therapist. Like, seriously, it's giving for Michael Scott. And he's like, I'm going to make my name Little Kid Lover because people will know I'm good with kids. It's like, well, that's Jeffrey Epstein's username as well. But yeah, it's very boomer not to be like, oh, it definitely looks like I'm the littlest Jeff. Yeah. Liking
the first
all these
one,
YouTube.
Too. Right? Littlest Jeff had to have been taken. So Littlest Jeff 1 was the next thing he had to do.
But when this came out, everybody's like, oh my gosh, which this is just the kind of thing. If you have a Fortnite, you know, you can change your username. Yeah, change it to Little Saint Jeff and then everyone will think it's him.
I'm not entirely convinced that this is debunked officially. I feel like this is something stupid that would get someone caught. Like you forgot, oh, the Fortnite account. If he's living abroad, shacked up because he can't go out playing a little Fortnite, you forget that, oh, all of this can be traced. It's also well known that these types of games are used not only to lure children and groom them, but also for people within law enforcement and military assets, intelligence assets to talk on these games to each other.
I feel like such a fool because I never thought, oh, that would be such a genius idea if you needed to have a conversation with someone that no one's going to hear, meet them in this in-game thing, and I know your username, you know my username, and we meet up at this whatever, you know, on this level, in this place, especially an open world exploration type of game. Yeah, you pick a place to meet. You'll meet and talk about it. But I don't know much about Epic Games. They've came out and were just like, no, this is not him. However, several of our gaming companies have been bought by God knows what private equity funds and who knows who owns what. So
yeah,
there's also
even
that
if
factor.
They do own it. And I mean, I'm not accusing Epic Games of anything, but I'm also not going to say that someone in the higher up of that system with everything can get paid off and, you know, make a press statement.
Right. You never know who's on the take, it seems like.
Yeah.
And that's what we've learned from his emails where you're like, oh, he just knew people at this hospital and this hospital and this. So it wasn't every single doctor at that hospital's dirty, but he certainly knew the right string pullers. So it could be the same with any number of corporations. It doesn't have to mean a corporation is evil, but you could find some weak people anywhere.
Just as a side note too, parents, do not let your kids play this game.
Oh, yeah.
It is the number one sexual predator game. Every person in tech that's a good person will say, don't let your kid ever play this.
Gosh.
There are so many adults that will create accounts just because they're trying to catch predators. And within 30 seconds, this journalist said, I was having men email me asking me for nudes and pics or to go into a private room and to do these things with, it's just, it's like you drop your kid off at Disney World and you just leave. And then everyone there has access to your kid.
Yeah, it's so creepy. You know, you think like, well, it's just a bunch of kids playing.
It is.
Well, I mean, and it is, but also, where do the perverts show up to where all the kids are playing at? That's like you said, they will go to Disney World or a playground or
something. There's a ton of adults that play it, yeah.
And, I mean, and there's been multiple documented cases of, like, Predator saying, this is how I found my victim in different states, and I'm sure other countries as well. So, and that one and Roblox, I've heard really bad stuff about. Roblox.
Yep. When an image of a shaggy-haired Epstein and what appeared to be security detail walking down a street in Tel Aviv went viral, rumors were rampant that the convicted sex predator was alive and well in Israel. However, analysis of the image identified clear indicators of artificial generation. These included a visible Google Gemini watermark and garbled street signage containing nonsensical or non-existent street names. While some theories suggest that manipulated images may be used to obscure genuine sightings, no credible evidence supports the authenticity of the Tel Aviv image itself. But it is a good point that, again, why was AI trotted out to everybody without any kind of guardrails on it? And now it's like, we can't tell the difference between a real image or a real picture or video and what's AI. Well, isn't that convenient if you, and I'm not, I do think this Tel Aviv thing was AI, but wouldn't it be convenient if you also were just walking down the street in Tel Aviv and somebody did take a picture and you're like, these have already been debunked. Like it's AI. And you're like, well, some of them, but not all of them.
Or if you take a cropped in photo and say, hey, Gemini, expand this photo for me and, you know, give me a full expansion. And then you put that one out there and go, look, everyone's going to say this is a AI created picture, even though the zoomed in part in the middle is still him. I'm not saying that that's what this is. Surely he would be smart enough not to be photographed, but who knows what kind of little oopsies we might make. But we are in a world, we are in a like post-truth society. We can't know. We can't, if it's just a single image or even videos now, and we're seeing this with a lot of speculation on whether the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is still alive or not. Mm-hmm. And he posted a video of himself in a cafe that looked very realistic, that included him talking about his hands and that he has five fingers and everything. Well, I've seen 10 different versions of it where he jumps on the counter and does a backflip that other people have essentially recreated the video and go, look how easy this is. And it looks so real. I mean, and then at the end, he gets real close to the camera, I mean, directly into it and takes a drink. And it's so realistic. It's insane. So just seeing a video of him walking down the hall with Mike Huckabee, that could be Mike Huckabee walking down the hall with a real person. And then you do a masking on it. We just can't know anymore unless it's like live and in front of me. And even then I'm like, are you wearing a rubber mask?
Are you a hologram? No, it's honestly frightening. It's to think this is only going to get more advanced and better that, you know, we are already at a point where you and I, who are chronically online, have been tricked AI. Now, you know, older adults that aren't as online and that, you know, don't know about this kind. I mean, it's so easy to trick them. And then even like young kids, like my kids, as they grow up and this gets better, it's going to be like, is that AI or is that a person? I saw, oh goodness, I can't remember his name, but he hosts a great podcast and he was interviewing ex-CIA John Curacao. And he said, I think pretty soon we're, instead of like the blue verified check, it's a check that says you're human.
Yeah, I was thinking that. And also one of the only ways to know if a video is AI or not is through the metadata on it, to know if it was like filmed, if from what device, what time, what location. I've seen photographers be accused of AI and then we'll screenshot or will screen record their own phone, clicking the phone, scrolling up, showing the metadata, going, look, I promise you, this is the image. This is not AI. So you're right. I think we're going to have I think what we need is a complex framework that, like you said, confirms you're a person, confirms it's a real picture. Do the powers that be, you know, the folks that decide that regulatory wise or technology wise want that? Or arguably, isn't it better if you could generate confusion? And if you don't know if a prime minister is alive or not, doesn't that make him safer, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't know where to look for him, even if you did, because he's on a mountaintop and now he's in a cafe and now he's in his office, but he's never at the security briefings with all the other cabinet members. He's off having a good time, you know, or is he just alive in the digital ether in the AI world? So I don't know.
And why, if your life was at stake and you knew you were one of the most hunted men on the planet right now, would you decide to go to your local coffee shop?
It is a deranged video, I will say. It's bizarre. The interaction is bizarre. I mean, I think it is a whole, like, I'm proof of life. I haven't seen a person act that weird around a cafe since J.D. Vance was like, how do I order donut? And you're like, you just go up and say the flavor of
video.
Donut.
Oh, Jesus.
He's just like, hello, do you have donuts? And you're like, what are you, man? J.D. Dude. Vance, you're not a person. You're like a robot.
How many should we get? I don't know. 60 donuts? Is that
all
how many donuts people usually get?
Can I order all of donut? You're like, get out of here, man. But you're right. I mean, it's just like, what do you do? Like, don't you have a security briefing that you haven't attended the last like 10 of them? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. But I mean, you could do a proof of life video in a more secure area.
Somber, or like a, that's not even somber, but just like it shows like
professional.
This is serious. Yeah. Like this is serious. We got everybody fucking bitched out Volodymyr Zelensky for not wearing a suit. I'm like, this man is wearing the same fucking zip up windbreaker in every single video. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's my current conspiracy theory. But there, that it's just a, I can't know. We can't know until he's like physically in front of like 30 people.
And even then, like you mentioned earlier, the masks mm-hmm. that have gotten so incredibly realistic and maybe not available to people like us.
No.
But to the wealthy and that class of people, yeah, you can get your hands on anything. So, I mean, somebody could have a mask that looks like Epstein and walks into a room, and unless you got up there and were like, let me mm-hmm. pull at this neck thing. Is there something there? You still might not know.
Truly. And if you think we sound crazy, I urge you to go online and look up the ability, like CIA's ability mm-hmm. for, and the CIA, we're actually like, I would say we're behind. Behind Russia and Israel and China, frankly, I think on the intelligence front, just across the board. So whatever the CIA can do, you should assume everybody else is like 15 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And the CIA has really good, realistic looking, like lay flat mask. Cause I'm seeing a former CIA operative explaining, okay, this is where I would keep it. This is how I would yank it off. I would go around this corner and do these things. So it's not unreasonable to think there's a lot of different disguise mechanisms on top of now just digital masking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also, to that point, if you were a wanted fugitive and you wanted to walk around, just get yourself a mask that doesn't look like you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Other emails in the files seem to indicate Epstein is residing in Colorado. These communications referenced an individual named Epstein being on, quote, Colorado time, which some online users interpreted as proof that Epstein is alive. Fact-checking organizations, including Snopes, determined that the emails referred to a different individual with the same surname involved in an unrelated FBI matter. It is notable, however, that Colorado does appear in broader Epstein-related records. Reporting has identified connections to locations such as Aspen and Vail, as well as financial and social ties within the state.
I think if a man had a extremely remote ranch in New Mexico that nobody really knew about for a long time, it's not unreasonable to think that he could get his hands on an extremely remote ranch in the Rocky Mountains, whether, you know, Colorado or something like that, which goes back to the Dr. G analysis of the note of MIA in the U.S. Like, if you go missing in the U.S., you know, maybe you just go, you disappear into the mountains of Colorado somewhere.
Literally the mountains. Maybe you build something into a mountain. We know his island had underwater access that had been drilled for a submarine. So,
and tunnels under there and shit.
Yeah. He's a real life villain that you see it, like a cartoon villain. So, I mean, except he's not fucking funny at all. I bet he was never funny. Like, I bet he never even made a funny joke.
No, I mean, they tried
to
joke around.
He doesn't make people laugh.
No, they would try to, like, joke around, but they were always either punching down or, like, nasty things or, someone that self-centered with, like, little to no self-awareness, if they made a joke, it would be like, well, then I'd kill you. And you're like, oh, that's not kidding. That's just a saying a true thing and laughing afterwards.
Yeah. And it's not even joking. It is punching down, insulting one another. I'm richer than you are. I've done this thing more than you. I just short circuited for a second and thought, man, and this sack of shit probably doesn't even have a good sense of humor, or we know he doesn't have a good personality, but if you're not funny, then
get out.
I just want nothing to do with you. I mean, I already want nothing to do with him, but there's not even one little saving grace. My shrink the other day when I was like saying, well, the state of the world has got me real fucked up. She said, can you name like one positive thing about Trump? And I just went, no.
I said, he's a mortal man who will die someday.
But that I can't. And that's maybe the only thing about Epstein, too. And also will he die one day, or will everyone think he's dead and he just flees to another state or country?
Yeah, I think Trump we're watching actively die in front of us with a tertiary syphilis coming up out of his neck. That's what I think that rash is. So hopefully, or you get your brain transplanted into something else, and then keep going.
Following the release of deposition footage involving Ghislaine Maxwell, some viewers claim that the individual shown differed significantly in appearance from earlier images. Observations focused on changes in facial structure, hairstyle, and overall presentation, leading to speculation that a stand-in had been used, speculating the switch-out occurred when Maxwell was being transferred from the Federal Correction Institution in Tallahassee, Florida, to a minimum security prison in Bryan, Texas.
That would be a time to do it.
It sure would. The transfer came after 2 days of meetings Maxwell and her lawyer had with top Justice Department official Todd Blanche, who also happens to be Trump's former criminal defense attorney. Trump approved the transfer. Epstein victims Annie and Maria Farmer said in a statement,
"This move smacks of a cover-up."
Relatives of the late Virginia Giuffre did not mince words when speaking with the media.
"President Trump has sent a clear message today. Pedophiles deserve preferential treatment, and their victims do not matter."
Neither the Farmers nor the Giuffre family was notified of the transfer prior to the media's announcement.
Todd Blanche, lest you forget, is the guy who said it's not a crime to party with Jeffrey Epstein.
Which I say, it certainly is, sir.
Yeah. I was like, we're starting from the bars in hell. Like, we're starting so low with this guy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, like, he and her attorney are the ones that met with her, and then she's now been transferred via what kind of means? I don't know. They don't have cameras on her the whole time. We've not had a 4chan post from someone being like, "You guys, I'm in Tallahassee," and they switched her out. But who knows when any of that could happen? It's weird that she's at a place with less security, given that she was a huge sex trafficker.
Yeah. Why would you be transferred to anywhere unless it was a maximum security prison, a worse place.
Yeah, it should
be like the crimes you've done.
A waterboarding box or something. Like, what are we doing? I'm just kidding. We shouldn't waterboard people, except Ghislaine Maxwell. But I don't think that's her. So we can't. We can't do it. She's not
but
her.
It would be the perfect place to do a transfer is she's leaving one place. A new person shows up at the next place. At any point during that, a switch off could have occurred.
Well, and if you think about it, if she's in the Tallahassee prison for however long, weeks, months, probably, and you're trying to get her out so you can switch her around, you can't put a body double. Like, you can't put the double back into the prison she was already in because everybody there is like, I've talked to this bitch. This is a different person.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm sounding crazy, but this is a different person. And so you just go like, say bye to your friends, Ghislaine, and then she's gone. And then the Bryan, Texas people are like, this lady is Ghislaine. Everybody's like, man, she looks different than the TV. But, you know, everybody, Jen Shaw and Elizabeth Theranos or whatever, they're going, oh, man, that's crazy. She looks a little bit different than TV. They wouldn't know. Mm-mm. You know, they didn't meet her beforehand. So the only person that would know would be Todd Blanche.
Yeah. And, I mean, prison's a rough environment. So it does change your appearance, you know, which could be used as an excuse if you're at the Bryan one. You're like, well, yeah, she was in that other prison for several months. So just hasn't been very kind to her.
Yeah,
or it's not the same person.
Right. They're like, she looks rough. But at the Tallahassee prison, she had like long shoulder length hair. And then at the video deposition, she had the Ghislaine short hair again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, did she just want to like, you know, zhuzh herself up before she was going to say, I plead the fifth 53 times? Maybe. But it was weird that it was like she went from the grown out hair to like looking, being like, I look like Ghislaine Maxwell. Look at my hair and my glasses. And it's like,
Yeah. Also, you should have stuck with the longer hair.
It did look better.
So better why would you cut it shorter if not to be even more, resemble even more the person that you're trying to pull one over for? Alternative explanations of Maxwell's change appearance suggest aging, weight fluctuation, lighting conditions, and the absence of cosmetic treatments commonly available outside prison environments. Still, when a viral video in February purported to show Maxwell walking freely in Canada, many used this as further proof that the real Ghislaine was not behind bars. However, subsequent investigation revealed that the video had been manipulated using AI face swapping technology. The creator of the video admitting to applying Maxwell's likeness to another individual using a publicly available tool. Frame-by-frame analysis further confirmed inconsistencies, including mismatched lighting and unnatural facial motion, hallmarks of synthetic overlays. As of this recording, verified reporting confirms that Maxwell remains in federal custody.
I'll say, though, this picture, this video got me. This video got me.
I was like, she's been found.
Yeah, the video got me. And thank God the guy came forward and was like, oh my God, here's the original. I'm so sorry. This is worse than the Great Toaster hoax that we covered on that mini-sode. That you're like, I'm just going to upload this video. It's kind of innocent. And then millions of people see it, believe it, and then go on to spread it to other people. Because I really thought it was real. It looked so real.
What an idiot to have done. Dude, I mean, like, of all the people, like, this isn't the one. But also, even though he's come forward and shown I'm still like, he could have been paid off. Like, you know, like they could have, I don't believe much of what comes out of the news these days. It's getting really hard to find trustworthy sources given, you know, they're all owned by the same people that want to spread the same message.
This is true. This, to the extent it's different, this is not corporate news that confirmed it. It was CBC, the Canadian broadcasting company. Does their government have some involvement? I don't know. Not that I've seen from the emails, but who knows?
Oh, I think the video was in Canada that he
Yes,
he
it was supposed to be in Montreal. Yeah. So the CBC confirmed it. And I will agree with the frame-by-frame analysis. It's definitely fake because you can see it, like, move. It's similar to the Benjamin Netanyahu ones where there's some, like, slippage that happens. But that because this video is fake does not necessarily mean there's not some kind of switch or whatever. But does this help the case of, much like we see with Pizzagate, where you start muddying the waters with these other videos? Yeah, absolutely. People have a ton to gain from flooding the zone with, literally, Steve Bannon said, we just flood them with a bunch of shit. We flood them with as much shit as we can, and then they can't sort through it. So just keep flooding them. So
you get overwhelmed.
Individuals, you don't need to help Steve Bannon. You don't need to help Epstein. You don't need to help by making fake videos. There's plenty of real evidence to parse through.
Perhaps there are people that are creating them intentionally to help with that, that are the same payroll as Bannon.
Yeah, you don't even have people to do it. You could have AIs to do it for you. Yeah, certainly. Absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, she really is in Montreal, but this video is clearly, we're going to leak it. It looks real. We're going to figure out it's fake. So now everyone's like, there's no way she's in Montreal. Maybe she is in Montreal.
That's the place you were the whole time. That would be a good way to throw people off your scent. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
The suspicious circumstances surrounding Epstein's departure from that federal prison back in 2019 generated a mass of possible theories. Did he die by his own hands? Was he murdered for what he knew? Or was he able to once again leverage his money, experience, and connections to put into practice those seemingly nonsensical scribbles found in his cell? Much like the files documenting his criminal enterprise, the picture remains far from complete. So what do we think?
It's so hard for me to reconcile Dr. Michael Baden with all the other evidence that he's got out. Because I think he got out. Like, I just think he got out.
No, yeah, I don't think he was murdered or he killed himself. I think he was switched out.
No, truly, because he has so much information in his head that whomever he worked for would be happy to help him. The number one thing in my mind is the final phone call with Karina Shuliak, who had access. She had the keys to the kingdom. I mean, she's the one that would be able to make sure a plane is waiting, call whoever Brad is, you know, really organize visas, a passport, a whatever. She, again, I'm not blaming this woman. She's been accused of nothing, but it certainly is interesting that he had a phone call with a person who had so much access and capabilities unmonitored, which is not
and
normal
said
protocol.
It was his mom who's been dead, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Lied about it, unmonitored. You know, again, why did that officer let him do that? And if the blackmail dollar sign guards, what the fuck does that mean? You know? So
it's almost too on the nose, which is why I was like, do you leave these behind as, you know, some little breadcrumbs for the web sleuths and stuff to put together? If not, then you just made an error because you were too worried about throwing orange sheets all over the fucking room to grab your slip of paper.
And that's the other thing, too, is like, why did he write blankets as a list of blankets, AVR, Medi, and watch, and then had requested, or for whatever reason, had like fucking thousands of blankets in his room. Why did he have so many blankets in his room? So that was my, those are all the pieces that are circumstantially leading me to think that this is not your average. They found him. He killed himself. They found him and they just took him away for a normal autopsy. When we have so many repeated, like the strange prior suicide attempt, the guard saying they saw him kind of peeking, that to me, it's not like, I'm so depressed. I just try to kill myself. I just want to get out of here. It's like, what are they doing next? Okay, now I'm, it's like, bitch, you
watch,
put that around your neck.
Exclamation, yes. exclamation.
You know? Or I'm like, is that a watch that you had that you gave to someone that you're waiting to get back? That's your connect. I don't know. Him giving Steve Bannon an Apple Watch. I'm like, what's that? And then they would give each other, or he would give people like iPads and stuff. I'm like, why are you giving people something that definitely probably has secret software on it? Yeah. The way it does it.
Or also a camera to where he can see what you're doing and track
Activate.
You. And, yeah.
No, truly. And also just tracking like location and stuff. But there's just too many pieces between what we discussed last time and this time that all together to me say he did not die by suicide. Whose body Michael Baden saw? I don't know. It was somebody's. And here's the deal. If you said to a ringer, because we've seen in the emails, there's allegations that a gentleman was serving a sentence on behalf of a U.S. government official in Mexico that said like, oh, remember, we paid that U.S. Marine to come and serve that guy's sentence, like in one of the emails. So having someone serve prison time for someone else or take someone else's place, not an unthinkable thing. So if you get a guy that reasonably looks like Epstein, that's, you know, reasonable height and weight, and you manage to get that guy's fingerprints to compare, for Michael Baden to compare, I mean, what more of a don't look for me than is the signature of Dr. Michael Baden? This guy that, you know, we listened to him talk about whatever, the staircase or, you know, I can't even think of all the fame, JFK, like he's commentated on all these like big things. Having him sign off and go, no, I saw it. And this guy's, by the way, this guy was strangled to death. I bet he fucking was, because he knew that Jeffrey Epstein was alive and that he was taking Jeffrey Epstein's place. So 100%, I'm sure he was strangled to death. And then someone wrapped a sheet around his neck and went, oh no, look what he did to himself.
You're so told that you're going in to serve a sentence for someone. You're going to get paid a bunch of money. Your family will be taken care of. And then you're taken out as soon as you get in there.
Certainly. Or you know that they're going to kill you and you know, you got a terminal disease or something and you go, just give my family, you know, $50 million or $5 million or $85 million from a Powerball ticket. So who knows what it would cause for someone to do that. But that's my only hang up was that. But again, it does not, my theory doesn't even involve Michael Baden being a bad guy. It involves him, a body is in front of him. He tests it how he can test it, which is against fingerprints he's given. You know, Michael Baden is not a government official. Someone gave him fingerprints to compare. So again, what are the source of those fingerprints? And then you're right about the plans, I think, kind of being left out. And maybe it was sloppiness, or you're right, like some ideas to like think, oh, maybe he's in Saudi Arabia. Maybe he's in Qatar. Really, he's just in Colorado.
Maybe. Yeah. I definitely don't think he's dead. I also don't think that the Ghislaine that is currently serving time in Bryan, Texas is the original Ghislaine.
If it is the original Ghislaine, she looks weird to me. She looks different. Her face looks different. The sudden haircut to look like her in all the pictures we're familiar with versus what she had already been looking like. The strange prisoner swap without notifying victims' families, the fact that Todd Blanche is the only one that's with them, it reeks of like, again, we have protocols. If everybody just followed the protocol and everything was documented, we wouldn't have all these questions. But from the jump, this guy was treated different, including his arrest. Everything was, well, we'll just let him do this. Or, well, this, yeah, we don't normally, well, we sort of, and that leads to the general public having a lot of questions. Well, if you skimped on that, what else did you skimp on? If you let him have an unmonitored phone call and all these extra blankets and all this, what else were you willing to do? Look away, fall asleep, go Google some stuff on the internet, you know, open the back door, tell the guard tower, let the van come in. I don't know.
Bo Burnham said that everyone,
every politician, every cop on the street protects the interest of the pedophilic corporate elite. And that is how the world works. He's been telling us since 2020.
And he's not wrong. So
not wrong.
We'll see. We'll see if anything else comes out about any of this, and keep people updated. And for those of you that have been like, these are so hard to listen to. I get it. It was hard to research too.
Yeah, my
we're staring into the great abyss, but
that's right.
Hopefully you or we were able to parse things out to where, you know, it was digestible, even if you have to break it up. But it is hard to listen to and watch and think about. Way harder to be one of those kids that experienced it. So
one of the
that's where I'm at. I'm like, yeah. I got to put myself, I'm not first in this situation. Mm-hmm. I have to bear witness to what happened to these other people and keep it relevant and being talked about so it doesn't get just brushed under the rug, which is what they all want to happen. They're starting mm-hmm. wars. mm-hmm. Old people are missing. Like anything mm-hmm. to get people off of this, they're willing to do.
No, and they did say the search results for Epstein files plummeted in the aftermath of the attack on Iran and the war.
I bet.
And it's my understanding that the DOJ released a statement either yesterday or the day before that said something to the effect of no more Epstein files will be released because of extreme sensitivity to like current ongoing conflicts or whatever. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
We need Iran to release it all.
And I think, like we talked about in the prior episode, that's the big key to all of this. If people go, why should I care about it? Well, there's over 1,000 women and girls and boys and men who were attacked, abused, raped, some of them killed. Some of them have had to live with their horrific injuries. And if it were you, if it was your sister, your mom, your little brother, your little cousin, somebody, you'd want somebody talking about it. You want people not to forget about it. And from our national security safety perspective, someone, including the Iranian government, including the Israeli government, including the Russian government, I believe have compromise on our current administration. Not every single elected official, certainly, but key people who make key decisions that cause your gas to go up $6 a gallon. So bear in mind that as well, that the relevance to this extends far beyond you or I personally, and that we're seeing catastrophic global impacts from this. Because somebody has got blackmail material on a lot of folks, mm-hmm. and that's a national security issue. So shout out to the House Oversight Committee and for the people that the bare minimum 5 Republicans doing the right thing and, you know, subpoenaing Bondi and Tova Noel and Darren Indyke and all of those folks. I hope at the very least they demonstrably lie under oath and we can put them in jail for that. So,
well, we'll keep everybody updated as things come about. And if you find stuff, send it to us because there's so much to go through that we don't see at all. So we appreciate when you guys send specific files and stuff.
Definitely.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole and Popular Opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That is where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around, do an annual membership so you get 1 month free, and you get a whole year of content, including so many awesome things.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. We just dropped a new mini-sode all about the missing general. It's a current case that's going on. We have Nancy Guthrie missing, and then a very decorated general who knew a lot about UAPs has suddenly gone missing.
Yeah, it's strange to have two folks going missing kind of in these desert areas within close proximity to each other and close time to each other. But yeah, go check out that whole mini-sode. And once you do, if you're on Patreon, go to the pinned post up at the top, check out the where you get a discount code for our merch, and check out sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner. Use that discount code to get merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you to everybody who's so kind. Submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover. Submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday. and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. We're going to be off the next couple of weeks, but we'll be back soon. And you just enter your email, you get immediate access to the chat and a whole backlog of free content just for signing up.
Heck yes. And when you go to our website, you're going to find a lot of stuff on our website. But the most important thing is links to Crime Wave at Sea 2.0.
All very aboard, excited. Baby. Can't wait.
We just got to do a cameo surprising someone that their sister bought them Crime Wave tickets and that they're going to be together with us on the cruise. And it just, us doing that cameo just sparked both of, we started just going back and forth of all the things that we loved in our memories and talking to our friends last night at 4-day weekend. We were like, people were asking about the cruise and just getting to, you know, recollect and remember the fun stuff and being like, and one of our friends goes, we should all go. I said, you should all go. Let's all go. Everybody go.
It's going to be a super fun time. Can't wait.
You go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER and get it. If you want more info, if you just click live shows on our website, there's all kinds of info, but the Crime Wave website's got it all. And including you can pick your cabin, you can do a payment plan, all kinds of stuff like that. So crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER when you check out.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple people asking about the Discord channel and if that's still going. It's still up. It might be from the previous Crime Wave, but you can still post in there if you're looking for roomies or just other fans who are going and you want to get some names to put with faces in February.
Heck yeah, you get the inside scoop on like excursions and where to stay and what to do. We got a lot of good cruise veterans as well, and we appreciate y'all sharing your knowledge. Go follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood and follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself, book a cameo now. From happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you have accomplished, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect when you have to go out, get something outside of your house, and it's something that you know is 100% unique. Go to the website, cameo.com/sinisterhood on a web browser to get the best prices on your cameo. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
And keep it creepy. Hey everybody, thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Jessica Morgan,
London Justin,
Christy Holvig,
Christine Shows,
Mary G,
Brianna K,
Laurel H,
Emily Whitley,
Hi 96,
and Carla Smith. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you all. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. You know that moment when you're in your stylist chair and you're describing your dream hair like it's a Pinterest board come to life, but you have zero idea how to make it happen at home? That is my Roman Empire. But Amiga totally gets it. Their clean, vegan, cruelty-free, clinically proven formulas are why stylists swear by them. I'm obsessed with the Wizard Detangling Primer. It's like a magic spell for my hair. For a limited time, save 15% off your order with code FAMOUS15 on loveamika.com. Restrictions may apply.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.